2 Kings 23. Again, we can look around the world and see all the chaos and all the challenges and confusion oftentimes. Even if it's not us confused about what's going on, the world seems to be confused. And they're obviously confused about some things when it comes to spiritual matters. Most things, the world is. And it's just kind of a sign of the last days where you don't have to look as far as you used to see the chaos, the confusion, the craziness, if you will. It's creeping in on us. We are closing in on the rapture. I believe that wholeheartedly. I think God's been more merciful to this world now than even he was at the flood. Because I don't have a Bible proof for this, but it says, as they were in the days of Noah, I think we might even be as they were plus, amen. I just can't believe that what's going on is going on. Amen. It's just a little disheartening to see, not because we didn't expect things to go crazy, but to see the world turn their back on, thumb their nose at, reject the truth, Jesus Christ, the truth, the Bible, God the Father, rejecting things that are good and clean and holy. And looking at that and understanding that that is the case, realizing, as we've talked in the past, it started at churches. It really did. It started with individuals' lives that decided that they were going to go after the world instead of the Spirit of God and the things of God, and submit to the desires of the flesh instead of the desires of our Creator. And that's where it started. It's unfortunate. And, you know, I honestly believe, not just in my mind, but in my heart, I believe that God has been especially good to Gateway Baptist Church. I really do believe that. And I believe that for this reason. I have seen God show up. I've seen God move. I've seen God do things at this church that I believe I can honestly testify there are a lot of churches it's not happening anymore. And I believe as long as you are seeking God, seeking to please Him, I'm not saying you have to be always sinless and perfect. I'm just saying if you're seeking His will and you're keeping a short account with God and realize when you get wrong, you can get right and you're doing it, I think all the way up to the end we're going to see God do things here that maybe He won't do some other places. But He's got to be welcome. He's not going to kick the door in. He's not going to force His way in. He's looking for a place where He's welcome. And unfortunately, as a whole, this nation has unwelcomed Him, if you will. And it's a sad thing. And honestly, if this country had nothing, worldly speaking, and God was moving and working here, and we had God the way God wanted to be here, we'd be much better off. That being said, I want to look at some things in 2 Kings, and by the grace of God, today, 2 Kings 23, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "The king sent," and this is Josiah, "the king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the adulterous priest whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out of the grove from the house of the Lord, he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of unleavened bread among their brethren. And he defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hemon, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. And look, we're not done yet, but we've already went through the Sodomites, and we just hit abortion right there. They were killing their kids off because it was pleasing to their gods. Not the God, but their gods. And he took away the horses, verse 11, that the king of Judah had given to the son. And the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. And the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Shamoth, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. What a passage of Scripture. I mean, here we are. We're looking at one of the greatest leaders God's people had in the Old Testament. I know David was, but we're looking at Josiah here. And much like the United States of America, God's people, the Old Testament situation, they had a lot of bad leaders. If you study out the kings of Israel, there were a lot of bad kings, a lot of bad leadership. A lot of bad guidance, a lot of bad decisions, a lot of false worship, a lot of worshiping of false gods, a lot of idols set up, a lot of places set up to worship their false gods, just a lot of wickedness going on. There were a lot of bad leaders, but there were a few really good leaders. Now, we've had a few really good leaders. Hold on to your hat. You're probably going to have to go back before our days where I could say they were really good godly leaders. We've had some good leaders, a few. And if you check out the leaders of God's people in the Old Testament, even the ones that were good were not always godly. I mean, some of them did some good things, but they failed to fully seek the Lord. They were still called men that did right. But I mean, we're looking in comparison to the ones that were doing wicked. Some of them were doing right, but they wouldn't fully sell out to the Lord. We've got a young man here, Josiah, sold out. That's what we need in this country. Amen. That's what this world needs. It needs a leader that is sold out to Jesus Christ, that is sold out to the Word of God, that is serious about following God, that is serious about getting things right. You realize what Josiah did? He read God's Word to the people. That's my president, amen. I'll vote for him twice, amen. Some states you can do that, by the way. But I'll vote for him. The first time in my entire life that I've cast a vote for a president, I could vote for him wholeheartedly, happily, and say, this man will please God. Man, I'd love to see that in our lifetime. Amen. Say, well, if Trump runs in 2024, well, if he runs in 2024, we won't be voting for the man I just talked about. The man I just talked about would stand and he would tell the United States of America, this is the Word of God. This trumps our Constitution. This trumps your rights. This trumps your feelings. This is what we're going to go by. This is what's going to guide me in my decisions. Not take free will from the people, but because God doesn't even do that, but a man that will stand and say, I'm going to start out the day on my face, calling out to God, thanking Him for the blessings, calling out to God, asking His guidance, and asking Him to direct my path as I lead this nation. That's the man I want to vote for, amen. I think it's going to be a write-in candidate. It's probably going to be Jesus Christ. That's the only man you're going to find, because the rest of them have fallen to the wayside. Jesus Christ will not do that. But Josiah read the Word of God. He realized their sin. That's another thing. He had a repentant heart. He had a repentant heart. We just went down a list of things he'd done. He remedied the problem. How did he remedy the problem? He removed the problem. He didn't just talk about it. There were a lot of kings that talked about it and didn't do it. You'll find them. They did this and this and this and this, but they failed here. And it was that last step or two toward God that they failed on. He read the words of God. He realized their sin. He repented. He remedied the problem by removing the idols. And you know what happened when he removed the idols? God restored fellowship. And God restored the blessing. You see, the blessing is not your car. It's not your house. It's not your checkbook. It's the presence of God. If you have all those things and no God, you have no blessing. You just have stuff. But God was allowed back in by Josiah. Josiah looked and he said, all the things you've blessed us with, we want you. Because they're not really blessings without you. He read, he realized, he repented, he remedied the situation by removing the idols. God restored the fellowship. You know, he has to do that. And God restored the blessing. See, that's not just with a nation. That's the way it works with an individual. Read that book. Realize where you're wrong. Repent. Remedy the problem. Remove the idols. Whatever you got between you and God, get rid of it. Amen? And he will restore fellowship and he'll renew the blessing. There's no sense in God's people running around all beat down, depressed, discouraged all the time. And if you're doing that, the problem is not the world. The problem is your sin. You say, well, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Are you? I'm not doing anything I'm supposed to be doing. That's usually where we start. But what does he ask you to do that you're refusing to do? See, Josiah got a hold of the God. God got a hold of Josiah, and Josiah went with it. He said, we're going to get this thing straight. And he went down through the list, and he got the problems taken care of so God could bless him. so God would fellowship with God's people. You can still be God's people and not be in fellowship. Amen. Happy Mother's Day message, huh? Hold on. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings 22. Josiah was a good leader, at least in part because of 2 Kings 22. Look at verses 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscheth, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. I'm telling you, this is a Mother's Day message. You know why? Because he was able to, this guy was 8 years old when he became king. Well, how could that happen? He had two good parents. They weren't perfect, but they sought God. You notice it lists the mom first. You say, well, yeah, it just does that for genealogical purposes. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Look at 2 Kings chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. In the seventh year of Jehu, Joash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Named his mom again. A king that did right in the sight of the Lord. Look at 2 Kings 14. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Look at 2 Kings 15. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Look at 2 Kings 18. Beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Now back at 2 Kings 22. We'll land here for a minute. Verses 1 and 2 again. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah of Boscheth. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. 8 years old, and he pleased God. His reign pleased God. How is it possible for an 8-year-old to reign righteously? I mean, the obvious question and the spiritual answer was God was with him. But look at 2 Chronicles. Turn right to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 34. I hope you fall in love with this book. If you're not, I hope you do fall in love with it, because there's some amazing stuff hiding in the words of God here. 2 Chronicles 34. Look at 1 through 3. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now look at verse 3. For in the eighth year of his reign, not when he was 8 years old, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Isn't that something? He became king at 8 years old, and at 16 years old, he starts seeking after God. How could that be? How could he reign and be pleasing to God, and there's 8 years where he's not even seeking after God? His mother. His mother had influence over him. That's why God put her in the passage. It wasn't because she was just the vessel that brought him to this earth. And it's genealogy. It's because of God's purpose for mothers. God has a purpose for mothers. It's not just raising kids and feeding them and beating them and sending them to school. He has a purpose for mothers. And that purpose for mothers is to raise children that glorify Him. Now look, I understand a father has a role here too. But the father is more of a leader, and leaders lead by example. They're supposed to. A godly leader will lead by example. Although not perfect, the children should be able to look at him and say, look, I know he's not perfect, but he's trying to please God. He's trying to seek after God. But the mother has a more intimate relationship and a more intimate responsibility with that child than the father generally does. Generally. Now, God can do anything he wants to do. And God can bless a father. And God can take a father when a child doesn't have a mother, or the mother's maybe going in the right direction, and he can fill in part of that gap by changing the heart of the father. He can do that. He will do that many times. But it doesn't replace a mother. They're irreplaceable. Amen. But that purpose to raise that godly child to glorify God. A mother nourishes. A dad, he'll work. And look, I'm not getting into this, whether women should work and pants on. I'm a hogwash. What I'm talking about is a guy, the man, the male, the father, his primary responsibility is protect and provide for that family, and the woman takes what he brings into that family, and she turns it into what the family needs. Amen? Now, I'm not saying, you know, a woman works, she's going to hell. I don't believe that. But I believe this is biblical. A woman should put her children and husband and children before finances. And here's where we get into a problem. Ladies, if you are single, if you want to work when you get married, that's between you, your husband, and the Lord. But if you find a man that's not willing to take care of you without you working, you've got the wrong man. I'm not saying that he has to do it all and you can't work. I'm saying if he doesn't have the heart to want to take care of you, you got the wrong man. And that's part of the mess that's going on in this world today. Men don't want to be men. And some of the mothers want to be the mother they're supposed to be, and they have trouble because the men aren't being the men, and some just don't want to anymore. But the mother's job is to nourish, to nurture. And that's noble. Listen to me, that's noble. That's good. I don't care what the world says. Look at the world. Why would you take advice from the world? A mother's job is to nourish and to nurture, to be a keeper of the home. That doesn't mean she can't work outside the home. That means her primary responsibility is keeping that home, to be a biblical mother. Amen. And that's a good thing. I'm saying that to say this. Don't let the world trap you into believing something that's not biblical. And for you mothers that have done that and sacrificed and paid the price to stay home and raise your kids and maybe work part-time too and then work full-time when they're whatever that is, for you women that have sacrificed and made that sacrifice, and the world has made you feel guilty, like you're less of a person because, oh, you're just a stay-at-home mom. Let me tell you something. Josiah's stay-at-home mom was more important than his dad that wasn't there. Because if you look at his father David, that wasn't his father.
Right.
He's talking about somebody down the line that set an example.
Yep.
But his mother was intimately involved in every step of his life. And for 8 years, I believe his mother guided him and gave him advice and pointed him to the Lord. And finally, at 16 years old, 8 years into his reign, he sought after God. But you take mom out of the equation and God's gone.
Yep.
The story of Josiah would have been a lot different without his mom. Amen. Thank God for godly mothers. Thank God for mothers that want to please God and don't care what the world thinks. It's all right to be a woman if you're a woman. It's all right to be a man if you're a man, and it's good to be a mother if you're a mother, a biblical mother. And if you're a father, it's good to be a biblical, Christ-honoring father.
Amen.
The world makes you, wants to make you think that there's something wrong with you if you want to follow God. The world wants to make you think, well, you know, that's an old book, and that's what God meant back then. Back in Bible times. We're in Bible times.
Amen.
Have you read the New Testament?
Yep.
Have you read about the coming rapture?
Amen.
I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the catching away, we're going to be out of here one of these days. Have you read Revelation? We're still in Bible times.
Yep.
Amen. And God says women are to be keepers of the home. And praise God for it. I mean, if men were keepers of the home, it'd be cornflakes and messy piles of socks. That's what they'd have. And it wouldn't even be Kellogg's cornflakes. Amen. Man, say, I got time. I got to build a pile of socks over here. I don't have time for that expensive cornflakes. We're going to get you to Aldi stuff. Amen. Thank God for mothers. It's noble. There's nothing wrong with doing right. And there's nothing right with doing wrong. Amen. It's noble. It's natural. You know, the Bible talks in the last days, it talks about women leaving their natural affection. There are some things that women naturally have that men don't have. I'm not saying God can't bless a man with some of those things to make up, fill in some parts of the gap if the situation requires it. But I'm telling you, it's natural for a woman to love her kids. It's kind of natural for a husband or a dad to want to go, straighten up. Not to the wife. Just to get that John Wayne thing straightened out in you, amen. But to the kids, it's natural. But it's natural for the mom to be a nurturer and a nourisher. And it's necessary. It's noble. It's good to please God. As a mother, it's good to please God. As a father, it's good to please God. As a church member, it's good to please God. As a child of God, it's good to please God. It's noble. It's natural for a mom to desire to be a mom. And it's necessary. It's necessary. So I just can't understand what's going on in this world. I'm going to tell you what happened. You see, in the garden, Eve had some natural tendencies. If you read that story again in Genesis 3, the devil had to convince her to go against God. You know what the world is doing today? The devil is doing, the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, little g, he is trying to convince everyone to go against God. And if he can't, I think he's a Democrat. I'm sure he is. Let me tell you why. If you're a Democrat, I apologize, but I'm going to tell you why. All they want to do is shame people. God's not a Republican, by the way, because God's righteous and holy and good and clean. I'm going to kick them both because neither one of them worth 10 cents when it comes to spiritual things. Amen. But you know what? If they can't get you, entice you, to do anything against God, they will make you feel guilty, if they can, for not doing something against God. And that's what the devil did. The devil said, you know, what's God done here? How has he done this? How does he keep growing these people? How does he keep growing his church? How does he keep doing what he's doing and getting all this glory, and I can't get any? How can he do this? Is what the devil says. And the devil says, I know what he's doing. It's that family unit. It's the family unit. That's what God uses. A collection of people that grow up together and live together, that pass on my values and my purpose, my words, my precepts, a love for me, a desire to glorify me. That's how he does it. He does it in that family unit. And he attacked the mothers. Women's rights. Now, I know there's some men that are knuckleheads. Amen. Blood-bought, born-again knuckleheads, some of them. But it's still right to be a mom and a mother. He attacked the mothers. He said, well, you know, that man can't take care of you. That man can't do everything you need. That man, matter of fact, don't you wish you could be like him? Don't you wish you could be the breadwinner? Don't you wish you could do this? Don't you wish somebody else would raise your kids? And don't you wish this? And the devil did that long enough. He told Eve, he said, don't you want that fruit? Look at that fruit. It looks good. It's, oh, man, a fruit to be desired to make one wise. He didn't just walk up and say, here, eat that. He went up to her and he went down a list until she finally said, okay, I'll take it. And that's what he's done. I say all that to say this. For the mothers that love their husbands and love their children and love the Lord and want their husbands and the children to be better for the Lord, that's noble. Really, in a mother, it's natural. And it's necessary. You see, the reason we'll probably never see this country turn around spiritually is because there are a lot of mothers that don't want to be mothers anymore, and there are a lot of fathers that don't want to be fathers anymore. But thank God for the mothers that want to please the Lord. An amazing thing about our Lord is he allows U-turns. And he forgives. He redeems and he directs those that seek his guidance and his will. Man. A world full of godly mothers would produce many more godly men and women. This place could turn around. And then the credit would be due to the Lord and a lot of it, the mothers. And the king sent, and they gathered to him all the leaders of Judah and of Jerusalem. The king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord, under the guidance of a mother. Father, we sure love you and thank you so much for mothers. We thank you that we can open your word and we look in the Old Testament even and find the influence that mothers had on their children as kings. Some good and some bad. Some wonderful examples of a mother that loved you so much and sought you so often that their young men could lead by following you. And that you raised up a young boy, Josiah, through the guidance of your word and a mother to read your word, to realize where things were wrong, have a repentant heart, to remedy the situation by removing the problems so you could restore fellowship and restore the blessing. Oh Lord, please bless the mothers. Keep them safe. Protect them physically, spiritually. And Lord, give them a heart to seek your face and to be mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.